Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The subject for this week is election integrity and the SAVE Act. SAVE stands for Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. The bill just passed the House and has gone to the Senate. The Senate has not yet taken up the bill because the Republicans still don't have the 60 votes to bring the bill to the floor for a vote, according to the Senate rules. However, the Republicans still have a way to bring up the vote. Technically, the Democrats can filibuster, that is, keep the bill in debate indefinitely. But in order to do that, the Democrats must continually speak from the podium against the bill. So what the Senate usually does is to not require the opposition to actually have to speak against the bill continually. They just call it or declare it a zombie filibuster, as if the opposition party would continually speak against the bill, but they don't actually have to do so. So the bill can really never come up for a vote unless there is a 60-vote majority. However, some Republicans are calling for a no-zombie filibuster to actually follow the rules, so the Democrats will actually have to stand up on the floor and speak against the bill continually. And they can't continue this forever, so the bill will have to come to the floor for a vote. It looks like the Republicans will be bringing up the SAVE Act once the government shutdown is resolved. Because once the Democrats are forced to debate the bill, no other Senate business can be considered. Anyway, the added benefit for the Republicans in doing away with the zombie filibuster is that the Democrats are going to have to voice their opposition to the bill and explain to the American people why they believe that American citizens should be able to vote without showing any ID. And that's going to look bad for the Democrats, especially since 91% of Republicans and 75% of Democrats believe voters should show ID when they vote. I mean, showing ID is a no-brainer. I mean, what kind of country would let anyone come in to a polling place and vote without some sort of ID or verification? To not have ID invites all sorts of fraud, and every country in the world knows this. There are only 12 states that do not require voter ID, and it just so happens that all of those states are Democrat-controlled. When I go into the polls in New Jersey, I will show my license. It's just so I can hear the poll workers admit that they're not allowed to look at it. Everyone knows that voting without an ID increases the chance of fraud. And the party that benefits the most from fraud or even laxness in election integrity is the party that's going to oppose voter ID. And that seems to be the Democrat Party. You know, why is that? It may be attributed to Democrats appealing to low information voters, those who vote casually and would not bother to vote if they had to make any effort to drive themselves to the polls or if they had to show some ID. This may also explain why the increase in mail-in ballots tends to favor the Democrat Party. Plus, the Democrats have developed a whole system of ballot harvesting in the inner cities. However, studies do show that Democrat voters are just as highly motivated to show voter ID as Republicans. And the claim that minority and poor people can't show ID is rightly described as the racism of low expectations. It's condescending. It's a racist attitude to claim minorities aren't smart enough to have IDs. It's not only untrue, it's blatantly a form of racism in that low expectations are put upon people of color, as they're so-called. And the Democrats know that using this argument is problematic for them. So the only other rational explanation for opposing voter ID is that election fraud favors the party. And everyone knows that The person who refuses to show an ID, or refuses to take a sobriety test, or refuses to have his car searched is probably hiding something. Righteous people are always transparent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7, "For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night, but we are of the day." And John chapter 3, verse 19, "Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." And this brings us to another big news story. The FBI had a warrant to seize the 2020 ballots in Fulton County, Georgia. All of the leftist media outlets were outraged by this FBI raid, as in these articles, quote, "Trump administration escalates election meddling by seizing 2020 voting records in Georgia, but is asking for election transparency and accountability, election meddling." Notice how the headline language is biased. And there is this headline: "Debunking claims from election deniers influence FBI raid in Georgia, affidavit reveals." And this from NPR: "The FBI seizure of Georgia 2020 election ballots rely on debunked claims." Well, debunked by who? NPR itself. And in the New York Times, "Georgia ballot inquiry originated with election deniers in the Trump White House." So we see all this one-sided reporting on this event. But here's the whole story that you're not hearing in the news. There are a number of groups and attorneys still challenging the Fulton County election results from 2020. They are continuing this fight because they have credible evidence and allegations, including failure to create required ballot images, multiple scans of certain ballots, and inconsistent total counts. They have testimony from workers who claim under oath that they were scanning mail-in ballots that weren't even folded. So how can they go through the mail in election envelopes without being folded? Now, back in 2020, the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, certified the election results from Fulton County after doing an internal audit. But these outside groups are claiming that the Secretary of State, who was anti-Trump, did not conduct a legitimate audit, but he whitewashed the whole thing. Even back in 2023, 3 years after the election was certified by the Secretary of State, with the possibility of certain outside groups actually getting permission to look at the ballots, Fulton County officials admitted, quote, "We did not properly sign tabulator tapes in the 2020 election, which is a violation of state regulation." The county also noted it had misplaced other tabulator tapes and documents related to the controversial election. Signing these tabulator tapes is a key part of the verification process. Matching the ballot tabulator machines to the number of voters takes place in every election across the state, but not in Fulton County. This involves tabulator tapes accounting for 315,000 votes in 2020. Garland Favorito, who leads a conservative election watchdog group called Voter GA, said, quote, "A clerical error could be one tabulator tape not signed or one tabulator tape missing, not 148 tabulator tapes missing." So for the last 5 years, these independent groups have been going to court to try to get permission to look at the Fulton County ballots and records. But county officials have refused to produce the ballots. Back in December, the DOJ filed a lawsuit against Fulton County for refusing to turn over the 2020 election ballots for the last 5 years. In December, the county could have complied with the DOJ, but it refused, so the FBI had to go and get a warrant to get the ballots. The headlines from all of these news outlets could have been, "Fulton County breaks the law in refusing to reveal 2020 ballots, FBI gets a warrant to look at the votes. So there's a lot more behind the story than the Trump DOJ and the FBI have confiscated the Fulton County ballots. The whole story is Fulton County has continually worked to not allow anyone to see the records and the ballots, and they have actually admitted to not following state procedures. So here's the point in this long example. If the Fulton Board of Elections is innocent, why are they withholding these ballots? They have to be hiding something. Normal people, when challenged, are more than happy to prove their integrity. They're happy for other people to double check their work. Just like people who vote honestly are more than happy to show some ID. In fact, they want to show ID. I would want someone to check my ID so nobody else can come in and vote in my name. Voters want their votes protected. Refusing transparency is a sign of duplicity. I heard one commentator compare voter ID to putting a lock on a door. Law-abiding people welcome it. Those trying to break in suddenly complain that locks divide people. So the Democrat Party seems to be opposing voter verification and transparency at many levels. And we know about the corrupt 19th century New York City Democrat political operation called Tammany Hall and all of that election fraud. And also the corrupt Cook County Democrat political machine in Chicago under Mayor Daley. There are many historic examples of voter fraud in America, so we need safeguards. It is hard to find unbiased research that Democrats cheat in elections any more than Republicans. But here's a Christian perspective on this. One must consider the foundational values and ideology behind a party. If there is a communist party and a Christian party, which party do you think is going to be more prone to cheat? A rational person would admit the Communist Party, because the foundation for communism is atheism. And in communism, what is right is based on outcomes, not the higher law of God. And when the communists took over Russia, they changed the laws of the land so that the absolutes of right and wrong were no longer the standard, but instead, whatever benefited the party determined what was right. The communists in Russia, the Bolsheviks, the communists in China, the Nazis in Germany, they all cheated and lied to gain power because being atheists, they didn't believe in the Ten Commandments, but in human utility and power. I mean, this is obvious. And if you don't recognize this, you have your head in the sand. Now, currently, the Democrat Party is the party that is for immorality condemned in the scriptures, abortion, LGBTQ, gender bending, Marxism. They even removed God from their party platform. And at their national convention in 2012, when they asked for a motion to put the word God back into their platform, there were loud boos throughout the entire stadium. And it's well known that overall, as a party ideology, they are the party that believes in situational ethics and relativism. So just look at the party system of beliefs. And common sense tells you that these people will be prone to cheat. I mean, I have a friend who points this out to me many times. He says that when these people are caught, they will say, of course, we lie and cheat. Why? Did you expect something else? What, do you think we operate on Christian morals? I'm speaking with a very prominent Republican leader in New Jersey, and he said that in private conversations with Democrat legislators, they will say, of course, there needs to be voter ID and verification. What lunatic would think otherwise? But when the media shows up, they will say the exact opposite and brazenly claim that Republicans are racist for wanting to require voter ID. They completely flip their opinion depending on who they're addressing. And this is immoral for anyone, Democrat or Republican. This is explained in the law of God given to Moses on Mount Sinai, Exodus 23, where judges and political leaders should not support a false report or false ruling based on three things. First, in support of a wicked individual. Second, in following the opinion of the majority rather than doing what's right, such as in the case of Pilate. And third, favoring or opposing someone based on how much money they have or don't have for you, being bribed by money or by votes, taking the position that will win you the most votes rather than the moral position. It was either Mark Twain or Will Rogers who said the following: "There's nothing more corrupt than a man who waits to discover which party a defendant belongs to before he decides the goodness or the badness of his action." Now, using AI, I can't really find the person who said this, so it's going to have to be me who said it. "There's nothing more corrupt than a man who waits to discover the party a defendant belongs to before he decides the goodness or the badness of his action." And the Bible calls this unprincipled men. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, Lot was oppressed by the sexual conduct of unprincipled men. And also 2 Peter 3:17, so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. The Greek word here, athemos, means those who are without moral law or principle, where what is right is whatever is good for them. I love Psalm chapter 15, where it says that the righteous man will be honest and hold to God's truth, even if it hurts him personally. But how many people or politicians have the integrity to do what's right by the law of God, even if it hurts their pocketbook, their votes, or their political party? But the Christian does what's right, even if it hurts him personally. Here's a soundbite that's circulating on the internet of Chuck Schumer. His first position favoring ID in 1996, then his position against having an ID in 2026, calling requirement to have an ID racist and Jim Crow, because what other excuse can he use?
"Let's admit the truth. Everywhere people go, they're asked for a social security card. In fact, one way to prove you're a bona fide person who can have a job is to ask for a driver's license and a social security card. This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment."
Gentleman's time has expired.
About 83% of the American people, including majority Democrats, support voter ID laws.
Well, yeah, the voter ID laws that, first, each state can have its own voter ID laws, and some do and some don't. But secondly, what they are proposing in this so-called SAVE Act is like Jim Crow 2.0. They make it so hard to get any kind of voter ID that more than 20 million legitimate people, mainly poorer people and people of color, will not be able to vote under this law. We will not let it pass in the Senate. We are fighting it tooth and nail. It's an outrageous proposal that is, you know, that shows the sort of political bias of the MAGA right.
Now, I don't want to come across as being partisan here. I'm simply pointing out something that's clearly wrong, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. And not only do politicians need to shun this, individual Christians need to shun this kind of hypocrisy in their personal lives. and work, at home, in the church, in their neighborhood. One of the big lessons Christians need to learn from this whole news story is that we need to always be transparent and never engage in this kind of duplicity. And we'd probably be surprised how often we do this and we don't even see it in ourselves. Again, quote, "There's nothing more corrupt than a man who waits to discover which party a defendant belongs to before he decides the goodness or the badness of his action." We all know that one of Jesus's big emphases was condemning hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "First of all, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." The leaven means sin or sinful influence. The word hypocrisy is a transliteration from the Greek word hypokrisis, which is a combination of two Greek words, hupo, under, and krisis, to judge. And it means to be deceiving, to be underhanded in your judgment, to say one thing and do another, to not reveal the true reason for your position or your words, not revealing your true agenda or character. As in Matthew 23, 28, outwardly you appear righteous before men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy also means holding to a double standard. One standard for your friends and another standard for your opponents. It means pretending or to be an actor, as in faking outrage against your opponents. As in the Pharisees asking Jesus about paying taxes, not because they cared about the taxes, but they wanted to make Jesus look bad. Mark 12, 15, "But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, 'Why are you testing me?'" Hypocrisis is simply a general word which means to lie in any way or to falsely judge to gain some advantage. We also have many New Testament injunctions against hypocrisy concerning false teachers and false ideologues, 1 Timothy 4, 2. "But by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." Notice the connection between lying and hypocrisy. These people don't just lie, they claim to be the opposite of what they're criticizing. They call others racist, and they're the ones who actually judge everyone by the color of their skin with identity politics. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore put aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy." Romans chapter 12, verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what's evil, cling to what's good." In regard to the sin of hypocrisy, having a double standard, Democrats require an ID to get into their national convention, but then they turn around and claim people shouldn't have an ID to vote because such a requirement would be racist. But voting should require just as much security to protect democracy itself. In conclusion, given the propensity of sinful humanity to lie, steal, and cheat, as we see in Scripture, voter ID should be a foregone conclusion. Those who say otherwise betray ulterior motives, hypocrisy, double standard, and duplicity. Almost every country on earth requires ID to vote because no ID is an open door for fraud. The Democrats have argued that such requirements would disenfranchise Hispanic voters. Yet Mexico and all 12 South American countries, and even Spain, requires government-issued photo IDs to vote. And if it's a claim that these poor people can't get IDs, in every one of those countries, the per capita income of Hispanics is less than the per capita income of Hispanics in the United States. And yet those people can still show IDs. So it sure looks like the reason for opposing the SAVE Act has nothing to do with stopping racism, but to facilitate election fraud. It's only criminals who don't want locks on doors, and when locks appear, they suddenly complain that locks divide people. There is one more voter integrity issue that you should be aware of. The Supreme Court will soon hear the case, Republicans and the RNC versus Mississippi. where according to the law, ballots need to be received by election day. But part of the Democrat strategy to harvest more votes is to extend the collection of ballots beyond election day. And there was a historic precedent for why Congress required all elections to be completed on one day, because back in the 1800s, certain states were extending the collection of ballots until the party in power got the votes they needed to win. It's like adding more time to the game clock until your team scores enough points to win. But addressing that Supreme Court case will have to be for another program. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the Word of God, and may Jesus Christ reign.